There's a word that's fallen out of fashion these days. The word's meaning is noble. The word means to perform a sacred act, to do a holy thing. Now that's certainly admirable, but the word itself makes us uncomfortable. That word is sacrifice. Now, sacrifice does not evoke a warm and fuzzy feeling. When we hear the suggestion of sacrifice, we presume a measure of discomfort, denial, maybe even pain. I mean, who would be eager to sign up for that? Now, there have been times, even in our nation's history, when sacrifice was expected, even embraced. I've been reading David McCullough's biography of John Adams, the man who was the first vice president and the second president of this nation. Early in his law career, John Adams sacrificed tranquility and popularity by serving as the defense attorney for the Boston Massacre, defending the 8 British soldiers accused of killing 5 civilians. John Adams was selected to be part of the First Continental Congress, which entailed the personal sacrifice of being away from home and family and law practice for months at a time. Later on, for a decade, John Adams lived in France and England, representing our fledgling nation. Again, making the sacrifice of being away from his family, this time for years at a time. Not to mention the discomfort and the peril of the ocean voyages, which included one of his trips on a sinking ship that barely made it to port. It's hard for us to realize the magnitude of the sacrifices made by so many people to establish this nation which provides us the lives we so easily take for granted. The measure of sacrifice was evident in a more recent era, too. To support the massive war effort during the Second World War, rationing programs were instituted, requiring families to make sacrifices in their customary consumption of everything from meat, sugar, fat, butter, vegetables and fruit, to gas, tires, clothing, fuel oil. Virtually everyone made sacrifices to improve the chances for military success. Generations of parents have made sacrifices for the well-being of their families. Some have emigrated from another country to come here and start a new life, later sending for their families to join them. Some have sacrificed certain comforts of daily living in order to be generous in supporting charitable work or to be able to purchase a home for their family or to provide their children with a college education or to be able to assure financial security in retirement. Lately, however, the concept of sacrificing has fallen out of vogue, out of favor. I mean, if you choose to make sacrifices today, you might be viewed as having been unsuccessful because you're giving up something that ordinarily would be desirable. We've been conditioned to expect instant gratification for our desires, and sacrifice certainly does not contribute to instant gratification. Heck, sacrifice is such a strange concept these days that even the sacrifice bunt seems to have disappeared from baseball. And yet, In theory, at least, we worship and serve a God who willingly chose to engage in sacrifice. Sacrifice for our sake. But wait, before we beat ourselves up for being self-serving wimps who are averse to sacrifice, let's realize that even the disciples of Jesus weren't exactly chomping at the bit to make sacrifices. They weren't sure they were completely ready to walk away from the familiarity and comfort of their lives. This year's Lenten worship series notes that wherever Jesus was, he was up to something. And that Jesus wants us to engage the world actively in his name. So last week's sermon called Come Up, in that sermon we recalled how the baptism of Jesus gave him spiritual strength to come up out of the waters of the Jordan River and to take on the novel task of spreading the news, person by person, that God loves us and forgives us and encourages us and stands by us through thick and thin. Come up. Today's theme is called Take Up, which will become clear in just a moment. From the Gospels, we heard this morning a passage in which Jesus says something that we've heard before. Maybe we've never stopped to ask what exactly Jesus meant by it. Listen again to part of Mark's Gospel. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Now in that passage, as you note, the expression "take up your cross," we've heard that many times. Did Jesus say, "take up your cross," because it was a phrase that was commonly used in his day to mean taking on a burden or making a sacrifice? Well, Bible scholars aren't convinced that that phrase was commonly used back then. But scholars are sure that people knew what the phrase "take up your cross" referred to, if they ever heard it. It referred to the common method of capital punishment used by the Roman Empire. In the first century, about the end of the first century AD, a Roman historian named Flavius Josephus wrote a history of Palestine called the Antiquities of the Jews, and in describing the religious persecution of the Jews, Josephus noted that they, the Jews, were whipped, their bodies were mutilated, and while still alive and breathing, they were crucified. And so sadly, to the people in Jesus' day, crucifixion was an extremely well-known method of execution. So, by urging people to take up your cross, was Jesus warning followers that they were sure to be crucified? Probably not. Did Jesus know that he would be crucified? Well, given that his worldview was contrary to that of the Roman Empire, and knowing what they did to people who got in their way, we can presume that Jesus did, yes, expect crucifixion. But for Jesus, what mattered more was his obedience to God, the Father of heaven and earth. Jesus was committed to helping the world discover something revolutionary. Jesus wants the world to experience the joy and the blessing from being motivated by love rather than experiencing the anxiety and resentment when motivated by a hunger for power. Now, we know how it is. When you see others with power, power to control, power to determine, power to make choices, when you see that, and when you don't have that kind of power, or as much of that power, there's a little voice inside that says, you want that. You need that. What will you do to get that? But the voice of Jesus says, sacrifice that hunger for power. Let go of the insatiable appetite for ease and comfort. Deny that desire for vengeance. Take up the cross. Bear the burden that comes from making sacrifices for the sake of friends, loved ones, complete strangers even. Even people that you aren't particularly fond of. Take up the cross of sacrificing self-interest in favor of genuine concern for others. Especially genuine concern for people who don't enjoy the advantages that you do. That's the cross that Jesus wants us to take up. When we commit to following Jesus, we bear the burden of not always being approved by our neighbors. Because we stand for compassion when the status quo would squelch it. When we commit to following Jesus, we bear the burden of standing for justice, even though seeking equal protection and seeking equality and treatment inevitably steps on some toes. When we commit to following Jesus, we bear the burden of having a little less money than we could have because we sacrifice some of our assets so that this assembly can gather for worship and fellowship, for education and outreach. When we commit to following Jesus, we bear the burden of sacrificing some of our independence in order to care for people who absolutely need our help in order to survive in this world. Within many of our social circles, the concept of sacrifice isn't going to win any popularity contests. In our world, people aren't standing in line to make sacrifices of their precious time or their popular image or their social status or finances or reputation or clout. People are reluctant to sacrifice for the sake of others. Perhaps not even for people they know or people they like. Maybe not even for people they purport to love. But we hear Jesus calling to us. To us. Jesus calls us to make sacrifices. Sacrifices that will help the world hear and heed His call. His call for all to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. His call for all to love neighbor as we love ourselves. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you know us. You know that our inherent sense of self-preservation makes us wary of sacrificing anything, lest that sacrifice makes our life more difficult. And so help us see your example. Help us hear your call, inviting us to follow you by denying our self-centered desires, to follow you by taking up the cross, the burden of sacrifice, so the ways of your kingdom, so the ways of your kingdom will fill the earth. Amen.